The sources of past success. The greatest successes in global cooperation in the past have combined a clear objective, an effective and scalable technology, a clear implementation strategy, and a source of financing. Smallpox eradication, for example, started with a clear objective, the eradication of the disease, and an effective and scalable technology, the immunization against smallpox. It built on a clear implementation strategy in which mass-free immunization was combined with active case identification and localization of outbreaks. It built on a sustained funding effort by several donor governments. There are many other cases. The Green Revolution built on a clear objective, raising food yields, an effective technology, high-yield seeds, fertilizer, and water management in irrigated zones, a clear implementation strategy, mass distribution of the input package at below market cost, and a government commitment to buy the resulting increased harvest from the farmers, and large-scale funding from private foundations, the U.S. government, and national financing. One can find this four-part package in the case of polio eradication, still underway, family planning and expansion of modern contraceptive use, children's schooling, rural electrification, where it has occurred, the expanded programs of immunization, championed by UNICEF, and more. Failures of development aid have come when one or more of these four elements is lacking. Either there is a deep division between means and ends when goals are not set, or there is no proven way to achieve them if there is no obvious scalable technology, or the technology sits on the shelf when there is no clear implementation strategy, or the process ends in recrimination and finger-pointing if there is no financing to accompany the high-minded rhetoric that brought the major stakeholders to the table. The focus on practical deliverables can unite aid supporters and critics. In many of the great challenges that we now face, such as climate change, biodiversity conservation, and the struggle to improve livelihoods in the drylands, no single technology will be the magic bullet. There are many candidate technologies for large-scale adoption, but many of these are as yet unproven. In such circumstances, the four-part strategy of goals, technology, implementation, and finance for scale-up must be augmented by three other critical processes: an ongoing scientific assessment, such as the IPCC, public financing for basic science and early-stage technologies, and public-private strategies for bringing newly proven technologies to mass scale. Science and public policy must work more closely than ever when we are in a situation where the preferred technological strategies are not yet clear. Our recent failures to make faster progress to achieve the Millennium Development Goals and to mitigate anthropogenic climate change are largely attributable to the inability of international leaders to put key pieces into place. 7 years after the launch of the MDGs, and after countless promises of increased financing from the donor countries, including a promise to double aid to Africa between 2005 and 2010, the commitments remain unfulfilled. Quite incredibly, debate reverts to first principles: is aid effective? Even after financial promises have been repeatedly made and endlessly reconfirmed. In the 1950s and 1960s, U.S. leadership often was the deus ex machina that ended such paralysis. In this decade, the United States has become the biggest free rider, the one country seemingly least interested in stepping up to finance the globally agreed-on public goods. Learning from the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria. We need a new global architecture that relies less on U.S. leadership and more on global cooperation, and that puts added focus on science, technology, and the combined efforts of public, private, and not-for-profit stakeholders. A great success story, filled with larger lessons, is the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, the Global Fund, in existence since 2001 and demonstrating what can be accomplished when the right pieces are put in place. Its performance vastly outpaces that of the rest of the development community in recent years. The Global Fund was born at the height of the AIDS pandemic, when the donor country governments, international financial institutions such as the World Bank, and the business sector were unable to organize an effective response to the epidemic within the existing institutions. As late as 2001, there was not a single HIV-infected African who was supported for antiretroviral treatment by a Western government aid program or by the World Bank. The developed countries were standing by as millions died each year, despite the availability of medicines that could save them at a cost of roughly $1 per day at the time. The cost is now considerably less. Despite all of the hand-wringing about AIDS and the existence of a highly effective treatment, three components of global cooperation, targets, implementation strategy, and financing, had not been put in place. The same could also be said about TB and especially malaria. Though proven strategies existed to fight both diseases, there was a general paralysis. Millions died each year as the world looked on, or more accurately, averted its gaze.